In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my days was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, He's proved faithful to me. Every word His promised is true. What I thought was impossible, I see my God do. He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful to me. When my heart looked away, the many times I could not pray, still my God, He's proved faithful to me. Days I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me, even then God was faithful to me. Every time I come back to Him, He is waiting with open arms, see once again. He's been faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful, faithful to me. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yes, He's been faithful, faithful to me.
Thank you for that. Ushers, we're going to pass these out before we begin our prayer cards. Can you help us with this? We want to get you our prayer requests for our campaign here. And so if you could grab those quickly. We want you to put this somewhere, if you could, and just go over this. These ones right here, we'll just pass them down the row. Make sure we have some out on the patio. We have a few more people than normal out on the patio because whenever you have time change Sunday, some people forget. That's okay. And we're on a little bit of a different schedule today. Understand that. And so we want to just make sure everybody gets one of these. If we could pass these out here, just go down the aisle. We're just different prayer requests. We really want to make prayer, of course, it should just be normal, make prayer a big part of our building campaign. There's two parts to doing anything for the Lord, okay? First part is we do what we can do. By the way, if we don't start there, nothing else will happen. You know, we live in a Christianity where it's like, Lord, help me to do this. Oh, I didn't do it. God didn't help me. No, you didn't do anything about it. But if we do our part, it's still not enough. God's got to do His part. And so we need to pray and ask God. See, God wants us to see something done, but He doesn't want to just see it and say, look, you can explain this by what you did. That doesn't work. God wants to say, my people did what he did, but without me, nothing would have happened. Because then who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And so we need to pray about that. So if we could just pass these out, a few to each section here. Okay. As they're doing that, we'll stand in 1 second when they're finished. As we're doing that, why don't you take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. And we're going to read we'll start in verse number 1. It's actually a story that I believe Brother Martin referenced and preached a little bit about a few weeks ago on Thursday night. I'm going to go a different direction with it. Numbers chapter number 32. Let's all stand together for the reading of the scripture. Numbers 32, and let's begin in verse number 1. It says, now the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer, the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, at Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eliath and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle. Thy servants have cattle. Now, they are not into the promised land yet. They're on the other side. And so you have the two tribes, Reuben and Gad. And by the way, later on, they get the half tribe of Manasseh to hook up with them and also get in on this deal. Verse 5, wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? For thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord hath given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time. And he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephthah, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel. And if ye turn away from him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. Let's pray this morning. Father, we do thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time we have. I pray as we listen to the message that we would apply it to our heart as well as to what you want to do through us in our building campaign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oscar, can you give me, I think, just a touch more on the monitor? Just a touch. I'm straining my voice because I don't think I hear it very well. That's getting good there. Okay. Our theme, as I mentioned, for our building campaign is reaching together. I like that verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know that picture, now we have a guy up on a mountain, but the picture of this particular verse is a race. You ever see these guys race 100 yard, well not 100 yard dash, it's not 100 yards, it's 100 meter, right? It's the whole metric deal. But they do that 100 meter. You can have 10 guys racing in that race, and the difference between first place and 10th place are hundredths of a second. And that's that. And so when these guys are coming to the end, what do? They first of all, they press, then they push forward to get to that finish line. They're going for it. And that's what we're trying to do. I like Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 also. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Going for it. Just striving, getting after it. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul said, I have fought a good fight. It's not a marriage verse, all right? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. As Paul gets to the end of his life, he said, I went for it. In essence, I reached for it. I did everything I could. With our building, we need to do that. The athletic one is very good because it takes discipline for an athlete to be successful. Take sacrifice. By the way, we've had discipline over these years. We've had sacrifice, great sacrifice to get us to where we're at. It takes teamwork, okay? Everybody doing their part. What do we say all the time? It's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. Everybody doing what they can do. It takes endurance. You know, you ever hear them, they talk about when you're running, that second wind. You know, you're running and you're long distance and you start to get tired. It's like, man, I don't know if I can go. And then something just comes over you at certain points, like, I can go a little farther. Endurance. And of course, there are always going to be obstacles. We've had our share of obstacles. We've had our bumps in the road. Things outside of our control. But like a man running a track meet, there's a determined end. It's right there. We know what the finish line is, finishing. And so we want to push for it. We have to reach together. Now, our story, in a sense, ties into it. I don't want to just preach for the sake of the building, although it'll apply. I also want it to apply to our Christian life. But our ties into this type of reaching mindset, a mindset of going for it. As we have been reading through our Bible, the books of the Bible, recently we've read this story, and we've read kind of into the book of Joshua and through it. It kind of tells where it all played out. We understand that God took his people out of Egypt. That was never the end for them. The end wasn't like, let's just get you out of Egypt. That's over. Glad we made it through that section of our life. Let's move on. No, God had something else for them. He brought them out of Egypt that he might bring them into the promised land. What was the promised land? A land that God had promised to them. A land where they would live on the promises of God. A land that had everything that they needed. Remember that although they had left Egypt, Egypt had not fully left them. Fact of the matter is, for most of them, Egypt was still there, very present. They fought God and they fought Moses all along the way. The first time they were to go into the land, they sent the spies in. The spies came and said, yeah, it's a good land, but bing, 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 bing. All these problems. And they discouraged everybody and they said, no, we're not going to go. God said, fine. If you don't want to go, you're all going to die right here. And so 40 years, they walked around and really, if you think about it, it was a 40-year funeral procession. That's all it was. Everybody over 18 dying. That's all it was. Funeral after funeral after funeral. Why? Because they disobeyed God. Well, after 40 years, we come to this part. They are now getting ready for the second time to go over into the promised land. By the way, they're motivated, most of them, to go now. They know what's going on, and so they're going to go. As they were walking through the wilderness, a couple of kings, Og and Bashan, they came after them, and God said, okay, well, let's get you started all early. So there was a couple of kings on that side of the Amorites that came after them, and God allowed them to defeat them. And so they're ready to go. But two of the tribes, and later on one half tribe, Reuben, Gad, and later on Manasseh, they come to Moses and tell them about a decision that they have made. That the land on the wrong side of Jordan fits them just fine. They don't want to go. They say, Moses, that land over there, it's great. Yeah, it's great. But, you know, this land here, it's perfect for us. They don't want to go. We don't need to go live in the promised land. You know what they're saying? And here's what I want us to get today. You know what they said? We like it here. Now, I know that's not where God wants us to be. I know that God's been promising this land to us for hundreds of years. I know this is it. We're finally going to get in. I know that all of our relatives that were older, they all died because they didn't go into the land. But you know what? We like where we are at. That's the mentality of many today. We like where we're at. We're just going to settle in. The fact that God has something better for us doesn't move us one bit. As long as everything's okay, I like it here. You know what that is? That's a settling society. Let's just settle for what we have. There's a little story. One of my favorite food establishments, really a proprietor of fine food for many, many years, was founded by men who settled. I'm talking about, of course, my favorite place, McDonald's. I have to confess, the other day when we were traveling, I actually had breakfast at McDonald's. I felt dirty walking in. But you know what? An Egg McMuffin at McDonald's is okay. Now, the rest of the stuff, it melts in the sun, and I don't want to have anything to do with it, but it's okay. Do you know McDonald's started in San Bernardino? And they opened a restaurant, they opened a hamburger place, and they had lines that were out the door. And there was a man that used to sell, he was working for a milkshake company. He sold the machinery for milkshakes. And several times he had to come out to McDonald's to this restaurant owned by two brothers, the McDonald brothers, to sell them some equipment. And he saw the lines and he quit his job to work with them and said, "We can take this thing big time." I think they opened up one other place and the brothers said, "We're good with that." So he bought them out, but he kept their name. They settled. Most Christians settle. They live under that "I like it" mentality. Did you know that God does not want us to have a "I like it here" mentality? You see, just enough Christianity to keep my conscience appeased, but not enough to actually be close to God or do anything profitable for Him. Now, I don't want people to think of me as a Jesus freak. By the way, you know, it's bad that new Christianity doesn't want to be associated with that. When we were driving up north, I saw a sign outside of San Francisco area, and it said, you know, "We don't like religion, you don't like religion," or whatever. Neither do we, and it was the name of a church. See, they're trying to be cool by saying, "Come to our church, we don't like crazy Christians either." Listen, if we live for Jesus, we're not, by the way, I don't like crazy people who say they're Christian. But listen, if people see us living for Christ and they think it's crazy because it's not like all the nonsense out there, so be it. There ought to be something different about us, not goofy. Not that we have a shirt on with flames that says "Turn or Burn," okay? That's just goofy. I'm not talking about that nonsense. I'm talking about, you know what, I just love the Lord. And if you think I'm a Jesus freak, oh well. But we just want that "let's take it easy" type of Christianity. If you are one of these individuals that's "I like it here," you're going to settle, but let me just tell you something. You're going to go backwards. You're going to go backwards. Could be in your walk with God in Bible time. "Well, you know, I put my time in, and I check off the Bible reading schedule, and I speed read it. We're good. I don't need more of God." Listen, can I just tell you something? We all need more of God. Could be in our faithfulness on Sunday mornings. you're newer here, and it's like, you know, if I have nothing to do on church, I'll come on Sunday, but if something else comes up, I don't have a problem missing. Listen, we ought to nail that down. Every Christian needs a church family. There's no such thing as a lone soldier. We all need each other. And by the way, if you're not a part of a church, you're missing out. There's a lot of good with it. By the way, some of us say, I come on Sunday mornings, and you used to come Sunday nights or Thursday nights, and you kind of let that go too. Listen, we need as much church as we can. And if you limit yourself even on Sunday mornings, you're limiting yourself. Just coming to church and being with other Christians and getting to know people, and people that will pray for you, people that will encourage you. It's very important, but we settle for less. Some of us would come out on Tuesday nights to share our faith as we'll go out on Tuesday night and get our Easter invitations out. Now it's like, well, you know, what's the big deal about that? Well, what if no one shared the faith with you?
Yep, there you go.
What if no one would have came and talked to you about the Lord?
Yep.
Some in our giving and our generosity, we've kind of cut back. Maybe in our serving, we're unfaithful. Used to do little things, but now we don't. By the way, did we mention the workday next Saturday? That has nothing to do with this, but just we had half of the people work on Saturday. Thank you for your classes that worked on Saturday. Now the rest of the classes will work this Saturday. If you were not able to come last Saturday, you're welcome to come. We're just trying to spring clean and get ready for Easter Sunday. So that's a free commercial, okay? Just like the Easter commercial. That if you didn't see the Easter commercial, you missed it. That was pretty good. All right, and it's actually playing in the hallway. I don't think you can read. I don't think the sound's coming out. But if you read lips, you'll really enjoy it. but we settle. If we are to go forward as a Christian or as a church, you know what we can't say? We can't say, I like it here. By the way, it would have been much easier just to say, let's just settle in with where we're at right now. We don't need another building. We can continue to meet outside. We don't need to start new Sunday school classes. Listen, it'd be nice to have a few more Sunday school classes, so a few more smaller groups. Where are we going to put them? Are we going to go up and down and ask our neighbors, can we use your backyard? Okay, Brother Rawls letting us use his. But what are we going to do? Put them on the roof? Listen, if we could anchor you down, we'd start a class on the roof. Got no problem with that, as long as I'm not up on that roof. But we need more space. Cut, why? We have to go forward. Let me give you some reasons here. A couple things I'm going to give you. First of all, I want to give you the reasons we have an I like it here mentality. First of all, we decide our life by sight. It says that the children of Gad, when they saw it, they saw the land. They started looking at the land from their own perspective. They didn't see the land as God saw it. How did God see it? That's not the land. That's the promised land. The promised land is over there. But they're like, it's okay. We see the land and it looks pretty good by sight. See, you have to understand, these people had real, except for Joshua and Caleb, none of them had really ever seen the promised land. Oh, there were 10 others that saw them, but they had their funerals a long time ago. Everybody else that was even close to it, they all died. All these people knew was Egypt and the wilderness. And the wilderness, don't think of like greenery, desert. Think desert. That's all they knew. Oh, they had heard the reports about the promised land. Some of them that were, I guess the oldest of them would have been 58. If someone was 18 back when that happened, 40 years later roughly, they were 58. Maybe they remembered seeing the fruit that they brought back, and maybe they remembered seeing the report, but that was a long distant memory, and all they had to go by was what they were seeing right now. So they're making a decision that starts only with what they can see, not what God told them that they would get later. They're making their decisions based on what their senses tell them. You know, our senses are what we see. When we make our decisions based on revelation, we're making a decision based on what God sees and what God says will happen. We all have that choice. How are you making your decision in life? My own senses. By the way, one of the aspects of our campaign, we're asking people, how much, and by the way, it's a prayer campaign, it's a working campaign, but it is a giving campaign. It takes money to get things done. It's going to take money to get that building done. And we're thankful that we're right now are at a part where they met with the city again on Wednesday. They're going to let us phase the building, so it should be a lot sooner, but it's still going to take money to get it done. And so everybody as a church family doing their part, what we want you to give by faith. What does God want me to give? Now, I'm trying to be careful this year. We always throw out that number, 1,000. Try to strive to get to 1,000. And by the way, for some of you to give $1,000, God's going to have to do something. But you know what happens? And I understand it. You say, brother, this is not my first rodeo, okay? It's not my first horse ride. I understand that. But what we do sometimes say, got my 1,000, I'm in. God could maybe touch you or provide for you to give more. I like what Tim said. Listen, I don't like much about Tim, but I like Tim. I don't know. I don't even know what Cindy saw in him, but pray for her. But was it, Brother Benet, 3 or 4 weeks ago? We hadn't even started the building. We hadn't even talked about the building campaign and staff meeting. We hadn't even talked about it. Tim, we always give blessing. Tim's raised his hands and say, just want to let you know, my wife and I, and he told us how. He said, we got our $1,000, and we're praying about how much more God will give us to give. I'm like, we haven't even started yet. I gave him a raise. I said, go out and get on the scissor lift and go as high as you can. Okay? Listen, that's the spirit. By the way, there are some people in our church, if you gave $400 or $500, that's a stretch for you. God would have to provide. And there are some of us, $5,000 or $6,000, that's our stretch. And if someone gives $500 and that's all they can give, and this person gives $50,000, and I hope that's what they give, just thought I'd see if you're listening. You know what? In God's eyes, that's the same. Everybody's doing their part. But you know what the thing is? Let's give by faith. God, what do you want me to give? Not just what I see. And so even our Christian life, you know what we do? We kind of settle in. We just, what's around us that I like? Well, what's around you that God wants to give you that's better? Let's not live by sight. I don't want to live life based solely on my own senses. Because you know what? My own senses mess me up sometimes. How many of you are like that? You know, your emotions are all out of kilter. It's like, it's like, listen, I don't want to live by it. I want to live by what God says because he's always right. So they were living by sight. It looks good. I also want you to notice the reason they liked it, because they were deciding their own success. They said, the land is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. You know what they were saying? We have cattle. This place is a place for cattle. Success. If we're going to be successful in our cattle business, this place is perfect for that. Now, maybe I should have studied it, but I'm pretty sure there were some other places in the Promised Land that had cattle. I don't think they were shipping out to another country to get their beef. No. But they said, this is perfect for us. We'll be successful here. Well, what did God want them to do? See? They were looking. By the way, we define success our own ways. And you know what the sad thing is? Most people are going to define success in a non-scriptural way, and when you get to the end and you think you achieved it, you're going to look back and say, that's not what I'm really looking for. That's not success. I feel empty inside, because success comes from doing what God wants you to do, being where God wants you to be. They were deciding their own success. They were thinking of success only in financial terms. There's more. I know this is hard to take. There's more to success in life than your bank account. There's more to success in life than where you live. There's more to success in life than what you drive. And by the way, if God's provided for you to have a little bit of money, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not success. Listen, if you have $60,000 in the bank, but you don't care about God at all, you are not a success. If you have $60 in the bank and you don't care about God, you're not a success either, but it has nothing to do with your bank account. It's about, am I following the Lord? You can look, and I'm if you can live in a nice place, live in a nice place. But that's not going to make a home. That's a shelter. Success comes from God working in your home. We settle because we decide what's successful. We also decide what makes us secure. They said in verse 5, wherefore said they, if we have grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession. You know what they're saying? This is the place where we'll be secure. Our cattle will be taken care of. It has everything we need. This is our security. No, their security was on the other side of Jordan. Security. By the way, we're all looking for security, aren't we? I want us to read a section of verses. I'll start to hurry here. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. I just want you to see, these are the verses on giving. We're not talking about that, although we are, but we're not talking about it in these verses. I want you to see the thing here where God's saying, your security is in me. It's not in that. It's not in what you have. It's not in the money. It's in me. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. No, you can't serve. You got to serve one. So who are you going to serve? Well, let's serve the Lord. But why? Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I think it was Brother Pusey who was praying for the offering prayer, and he brought that up. Many times in here it says, take no thought, take no thought. God says, don't worry about this stuff. You don't need to worry about it. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Everything will be fine. Why? Because our security is where? It's in him. Take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? The ladies say, aha, I don't have to cook anymore. Let's go home. God, what are you providing? I'm not saying that. Okay? What's he saying? All of our thoughts are about the next meal and food and the nice clothes and all that. That's all I live for. He's like, don't worry about all that. Do the best you can, but that's that stuff, don't worry about it. And he says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Of course. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? You know, we worry about ourselves, our body. Well, you're not going to get taller, by the way. And why take you thought for raiment? You can't get smaller, though, amen? And you can get bigger, but you can't get taller, all right? Sorry about that one. And why take you thought for raiment? That's clothes. Consider lilies of field, how they grow. And they toil not, neither do they spin. They're beautiful. And yet I say that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, he says it again, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We worry about all these things, and it's human nature. We start to worry, how are we going to be taken care of? Is this going to happen? What's going to go on? And it doesn't mean we're irresponsible. I'm not saying that. But he says, if you will just put me first, seek me first, you'll be taken care of. Our security is to be in God. Now, we are to do our part. I understand that. But we also understand at any time that crutch could be just kicked out from under us. But God says, I'm in control. Don't worry here. But you know what the 2.5 tribes were doing? We think we would be more in control if this land right here was for us. They wanted security. By the way, it's okay to want security. Where are you going to find it, though? Only in the Lord. Why else did they like it there? Because they decided for themselves. They just basically told Moses, and bring us not over Jordan. You know what they said? We don't want to go. There was no debate there. Reminds me of Samson. When Samson had all of his troubles, which were all related to women, he said, give me this woman. She pleases me well. There was no debate. They didn't go to Moses and said, now, Moses, we noticed something. We have a lot of cattle. This land is good for cattle. It seems to us, Moses, that maybe this land is a good fit for us. What do you think? What do you think God would say? They didn't say that, did they? They didn't say, Lord, is this what you want? Now, Brother Pineda, maybe I'm completely preaching heresy here, although I don't see in the Bible where it was totally okay. It may be in there. I didn't see it. Where God would have said, you know what? I'm okay with it. You can stay here. It was Moses and them. And by the way, they said, we don't want to go. We're not going over. And they kind of hashed it out together. That's a bad place to be as a Christian. It's when we say, I'm where I'm going to be. I've decided this is it. Nothing's going to change my mind. Wow. Scary. Now, there's okay to be, this is where I am right now, and unless God moves me, this is what I'm going. God, then that's fine. But we look at things and say, this is what I want. This is what I think is best. Don't you think that the God that created us knows what is best? And you may think you know what's best, and I'm here, and I'm nailed down. I like it here, and God's like, fine. By the way, I had something for you over here that's way, way better, but you did fine. We decide for ourselves. We decide our spirituality. Look at verse 19. I don't think we read verse 19. We're back from Matthew 2 to Numbers. He says, for we shall not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side of the Jordan eastward. Wow. Part of living in Canaan land, it was a life of faith. It was living on God's promises. There were battles to face. There were struggles, but God gave them this land, and you're going to get there. Just trust me and go over there. And they're like, no, we don't want that spirituality. Now, by the way, they did go over there and fight because they had to. But they said, no, we don't want that. This is best for us. How do we view spirituality? See, they decided what the promised land was for them. Yeah, for you guys, that's okay for you over there, promised land. This is our promised land. Aren't we like that? We create a God and an image that suits us. See, we don't want a negative God, so we focus on the God of love. By the way, I'm glad that God is a God of love. But you did, remember when we read the first verses, didn't they say that God got upset with him? What was the word he used, Brother Mejia? Was it angry? No, not my God. My God doesn't get angry. That's fine. Your God's not the God of the Bible. Now, some people, all they have is an angry God, and their God doesn't love. That's not a God of the Bible either. We create God, and we mold him into the image we want him to be in. Well, you know, at our church, all we're going to focus it on is the love of God. And by the way, some of these kids, they think that's something they just discovered. We just discovered the love of God. Brother, that's elementary. Of course, everything revolves around the love of God. We don't want a restrictive God, so we focus on grace. Yeah, I'm under grace, brother. And we're not? Thank God for grace. When Brother Chim messes up, thank God for grace. You ever get discouraged with yourself, like, man, I've been a Christian long enough, come on. I shouldn't act like that. You're under grace. Now, quit acting like that, but you're under grace. Right? Lord, I shouldn't act like that. It was a moment of weakness. It was sin. Forgive me. I'm going forward. Thank you. But we use grace as an excuse just to do whatever we want. I'm under grace, bro. I had a guy come to a prayer meeting one time, many years ago, and he wanted to debate something with me after a prayer meeting, and I'm like, I smell alcohol. Have you been drinking? He goes, yeah, I'm under grace. I said, well, I'm not. I don't have time to talk to you. Go get sober. He wanted to debate with me the Bible, and he's drunk. Like, really? I'll go home and spend time with my family, and you do whatever it is you're doing. I'm under grace? By the way, grace spurs us to live better. God loves us so much, he wants what's best for us. But we mold God into what we want. We don't want a God that we think's demanding. And by the way, God's not demanding. God just wants what's best for us. God of forgiveness. Listen, I'm glad for God's love. But God's not a heavenly Santa Claus. Okay, he's not your Uncle Phil. All right, come on. God's God, and it all balances together. We kind of just put God where we want. That's what they were doing. This is what we think is spiritual. Now, give me 5 minutes and we're done. The reasons why we should like it here, the promised land. Why should we not like it there and we ought to like it in the promised land? Let me give you a couple things. Because we're all to have a part. You see, when Moses heard this, he snapped for a few minutes. He remembers the spies. And he's like, whoa, we are not having a spy situation again. I'm going to nip this in the bud. We're not going to let this go. And verse 6, and Moses said unto the children of Israel and Gad, shall your brethren go to war and shall you sit here? Oh, what? Now again, some of these things, they coaxed him to say, no, we're going to do our part. Whatever. Okay, whatever. We'll deal with that another time. But his concern was everybody is to do their part. By the way, as Christians, we're part of a team. We're part of the family of God. In this church, as a church family, we're a team. We're to work together. You say, I'm not gonna pray very much for that. That's not my gig. It's all of ours. Well, I'll let, you know what, Brother Pineda and Brother, you guys, ever you leaders pray. God wants you to pray. By the way, children too. God listens to children. Maybe we should have them pray for $2 million. Amen? It's like, listen, you don't listen to me. My granddaughter will have something to say. Listen up. It's like my little granddaughter one time. Her and Ann and Charlie were staying at our house. They stayed at our house one night. It was a holiday, you know. The next day we were off. And in the morning, one's four, the other's two. They were playing mommy and daughter. And Ann was the mom, and Charlie was the daughter. And they were in the room playing. You know, sometimes you hear them say things. And so the girls were listening. And Charlie comes up to Ann and says, Mommy, Mommy. She goes, yeah. She goes, Mommy, pray for me. And Ann goes, no, I'm not praying today. Okay, thanks. I feel like that a lot. Listen, you know what? We all need to pray. Amen? We say, who's going to give? We all need to give. Who's going to serve in the church? We all need to serve in the church. Who's going to be faithful to church? We all need to be faithful. All of us, we're a team. Let's work together. If we're going to do something in this community, we have. It's because people band together to get it done. We all have a part. You say, I don't want to fight. I don't want to be a part of it. We all have to be a part. They didn't want to do it. Why else? We all have influence. Verse 7. He said, and therefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. He says, not only are you not going to fight, you're going to discourage those who are going to go in. Do you know all of us have a sphere of influence? All of us do. I've said it on several occasions when it comes to reaching people for the Lord. You know what the best advertisement for Christianity is? Other Christians. They see a Christian that genuinely loves God and is trying to do the right thing. That is a great advertisement for someone to trust Christ. But let me say this. You know what the worst advertisement for Christianity is? Christian. A Christian who doesn't love God. Now let me also flip this. You know what the best encouragement to another Christian is? A Christian who loves God and is trying to just be an encouragement. But also, a bad discouragement for a Christian can be another Christian. See, we all need each other. God wants us to encourage one another. We all, you say, I'm not a leader. I don't teach Sunday school class. I don't do all, I haven't. You have influence. People are watching. Oh, well, the world watches. There's one reason we don't pass out the I Love Pacific Baptist Church bumper stickers anymore. They're watching you drive. Yep. You know, by the way, if someone gets mad at you for something, just tell them you're a Mormon or something. I'm kidding. But listen, they're watching. They're watching us. They may see some little deed you do. You might do something encouraging, or you might serve or do something. Someone says, I like that spirit. I want to be like that. Might encourage them to do more. Influence. And then we all should just obey. Verse 15. For if you turn away for after him, he will yet leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. You know what Moses says? Just do what you're supposed to do. Now, the people came back later, and this is in the story, and they talked Moses into it, and they had some concerns. We'll see that later. But we ought to just obey. God, what do you want?
Yes, sir.
Don't settle. God has something so good. God has something so much better for you. They were in that land, and that land was probably okay. But I'll guarantee you the promised land was much better. Read the description of it. Read the fruit they brought. They got houses they didn't build. There's vineyards that were very fruitful. They should have been in the promised land with their brethren. By the way, they were concerned later on that after it was all said and done, they're going home. Their concern was that the Jordan River was going to teach their children they don't have anything to do with Israel or his God. That was their concern. Well, you should have thought of that before you decided to stay in the land in the first place. Now, this isn't a message today, but some of you adults, when you don't live for God or you have like some type of minor Christianity, you're selling your children out. Say, how come our church doesn't do all that goofy stuff all these new cool Christians are doing? Because we have another generation that we are responsible for. I am not willing to sell them out. Do you understand? I feel that burden, Brother Pichardo. When I'm here during the week and I walk around the property and I see all the children in our school, as the leader right now, Brother Pineda, I feel a burden. I feel that pressure. I got, for their sake, when I see my grandchildren, for their sake, Brother Pichardo, I want them to have a church that's right. I want them to have what's best. And I'm not willing to sell them out so that I can be some cool cat wearing a polo shirt. Hey, what's up, Steve? Oh, dude, we're just having church. No, we're not doing that. I want the children to respect God. We're not going to sing some lame little song, I love you, Jesus, ooh, baby, baby. We ain't doing that. Jesus was a baby in Bethlehem, and that was for a couple years, and he got out of that. I want to hear a song that says, that's good. And not because the flesh was good, because the words were good. And I'm totally getting off here, but that's okay. Because the future, they were concerned with their children, but they had already decided this is where we're going to live. And they had already went over there. They got their inheritance. It was all said and done. Our children, they're going to, What, you know why we need that building? Because we got to go forward for the next generation. You know, it's what it is. There are people that need the Lord out there. We're building it for them, for our families. Let's not be content, whether it's as a church or whether it's as a Christian. Maybe you've become content in your Christian life. You kind of backed off from where you were, and you're like, I like it here. Where are your children going to be? Where are you going to be? Let's just go ahead and just lay that out, because it's going to affect you too. You know, are you going to get to heaven one day and God's going to say, you know, I don't know if God's going to do this, but if he did, I wonder if it'd be a bummer. Can I show you what you could have had? Could I show you what your life really would have been like had you just stepped over the water? Well, I don't want to do that, and I hope you don't either. Let's all stand together this morning.